process.
Oh, the irony.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. Happy Friday from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us as we keep you updated on the fallout from the financial crisis. Retail sales plunged in October. The Commerce Department says the record decline beat the period just after the September 11th terrorist attacks. Here's Elisa Roth with the rundown.
It's hard to believe, but it looks like Americans may have quit shopping. Retail sales fell nearly 3% in October, and that's the biggest drop since the Commerce Department started keeping track back in 1992. Ken Perkins is the president of Retail Metrics. He says this is really bad news, and not just for the people who are trying to sell stuff.
It's going to spill over into all kinds of services. You know, we pretty much have a service-based economy here in the U.S., so it's more than just a drop in the bucket. It is very, very concerning.
He says the holiday shopping season will probably be pretty dreary. The official start comes 2 weeks from today, and there are already warnings Black Friday will leave stores in the red. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Retailer JCPenney reported third-quarter profits fell by more than half. Sales at the department store chain are down nearly 9%. Now for your bout of whiplash this morning. U.S. consumer confidence rose. You heard me right, rose unexpectedly, if only very, very slightly, about 0.3%. It was a rebound from a record drop last month. Falling gas and retail prices are credited with the upswing. Well, but it wasn't enough to move mountains or markets, and ooh, it is a sell-off this morning. American markets are tanking this morning, down across the board by anywhere from 3 to 4%. The Dow down more than 260, NASDAQ down about 64, the S&P 500 down about 31. A day of buying overseas with the European and Asian markets up for the day. Sun Microsystems says it's laying off a slice of its workforce. 5,000 to 6,000 jobs will be cut, with severance and other packages expected to cost hundreds of millions of dollars. We continue to monitor the world leaders who are arriving in Washington to discuss global financial topics this weekend at the White House. Marketplace's John Dimsdale has a preview of the meeting and what could possibly come out of it.
This weekend's host, George Bush, told a Wall Street audience yesterday it's time to bring the global economy into the 21st century, and that means overhauling financial rules established just after World War II.
One vital principle of reform is that our nations must make our financial markets more transparent. For example, we should consider improving accounting rules for securities so that investors around the world can understand the true value of the assets they purchase.
To get a grip on the world's financial problems, the White House decided to expand the invitation list beyond the biggest developed economies to include leaders of developing countries such as China, Brazil, and Indonesia. MIT economist Simon Johnson says giving growing economies a say in the solutions means they can also underwrite some of the costs.
In return for making their contributions, it is quite likely that the Chinese and maybe some other people would want changes in the governance of the IMF. That governance overweights Europe right now. And, you know, China and other emerging markets have been trying to reduce that representation for some time. This may be a good opportunity for China to push that agenda along.
This is the first ever meeting of the 20 world leaders, but David Chavern at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce wonders whether letting them all have the stage will lead anywhere.
Each head of state is going to get something like 15 minutes to talk. That kind of event and process doesn't lead you to a new financial regulatory structure internationally.
But Fred Bergsten at the Peterson Institute for International Economics says even if ambitions are pared down, it's important for world leaders to at least appear united.
The G20 countries have to be very careful to avoid any appearance of significant conflict between them that could undermine confidence in the very fragile financial markets.
This summit will be just a start, says Bergsten, especially since one important world leader won't even be there, President-elect Barack Obama. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Well, the Fed chairman, Ben Bernanke, spoke to a crowd in Europe today, saying officials stand ready to take additional steps if needed to calm financial markets. Bernanke made the comments in Germany, and now that recession has made its way officially to Deutschland, other European countries are getting on board. Italy reports its downturn is concrete enough to use the R word. France says it's not there yet.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, working for improved healthcare access with Health Connect, a practical guide to community outreach. available to patient serving groups at medtronic.com/community, and by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship, online at kauffman.org.
Today is a deadline for banks who wish to apply for money through TARP or the Troubled Asset Relief Program. But help from Uncle Sam could come at a price, as Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
After Secretary Paulson announced the plan, banks large and small said they wanted the option to sign up. But it's not clear how many of them actually have. Matt Slaughter teaches at Dartmouth's Tuck School of Business. He says the need for cash isn't something banks necessarily want to advertise to depositors and shareholders. An injection of capital would let them shore up their balance sheets and lend again. But he says there could be disadvantages too.
There's a potential cost to the companies of having the government be involved in a much more direct way in their business. That's sort of hard to quantify what that might mean in the future. But we already see that some of the major banks receiving capital injections from the government are now being looked at very differently.
Take company compensation. The government's made clear it doesn't want its money going on big bonuses and golden parachutes. Slaughter says whatever happens, banks can be sure they won't get a free lunch. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
There's the old line that supposedly Sir Winston Churchill told a woman who accused him of being a drunk. He called her ugly, and that while he would be sober in the morning, she would still be ugly. Seems people in the UK are doing more of their drinking at home and of stronger stock. Bloomberg reports beer sales at pubs are dropping, yet retail liquor sales are on the rise. Well, you know what they say about mixing alcohol. There's more on the fallout from the financial crisis inside our website, marketplace.org. We're podcasting there as well. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being here. Enjoy your Friday and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.